Chapter 11.
Hang on, R2, Luke called as the first gusts of atmospheric turbulence began to bounce the X-Wing around. We're coming in. Scanners all working okay? There was an affirmative twitter from the rear, the translation appearing across his computer scope. Good, Luke said, and turned his attention back to the cloud-shrouded planet rushing up to meet them. It was odd, he thought, how it had only been on that first trip into Dagobah that the sensors had so totally failed on approach. Or perhaps not so odd. Perhaps that had been Yoda, deliberately suppressing his instruments so as to be able to guide him unsuspectingly to the proper landing site. And now Yoda was gone. Firmly, Luke put the thought out of his mind. Mourning the loss of a friend and teacher was both fitting and honorable. But to dwell unnecessarily on that loss was to give the past too much power over the present. The X-Wing dropped into the lower atmosphere, and within seconds was completely enveloped by thick white clouds. Luke watched the instruments, taking the approach slow and easy. The last time he'd come here, just before the Battle of Endor, he'd made the landing without incident. But just the same, he had no intention of pushing his luck. The landing sensors had Yoda's old homestead pinpointed now. R2, he called, find me a good level spot to set down, will you? In response, a red rectangle appeared on the forward scope, a ways east of the house, but within walking distance of it. Thanks, Luke told the droid, and keyed in the landing cycle. A moment later, with one last mad flurry of displaced tree branches, they were down. Slipping off his helmet, Luke popped the canopy. The rich odors of the Dagobah swamp flooded in on him, a strange combination of sweet and decay that sent 100 memories flashing through his mind. That slow twitch of Yoda's ears. The strange but tasty stew he'd often made. The way that wispy hair of his had tickled Luke's ears whenever he rode on Luke's back during training. The training itself. The long hours, the physical and mental fatigue, the gradually increasing sense of and confidence in the Force, the cave and its dark side images. The cave? Abruptly, Luke stood up in the cockpit, hand going reflexively to his lightsaber as he peered through the haze. Surely he hadn't brought his X-Wing down by the cave. He had. There, no more than 50 meters away, was the tree that grew from just above that evil place, its huge blackened shape jutting upward through the surrounding trees. Beneath and between its tangled roots, just visible through the mists and shorter vegetation, he could see the dark entrance to the cave itself. Wonderful, he muttered. Just wonderful. From behind him came an interrogative set of beeps. Never mind, R2, he called over his shoulder, dropping his helmet back onto the seat. It's all right. Why don't you stay here and I'll... The X-Wing rocked just a bit, and he looked back to find R2 already out of his socket and working his way gingerly forward. Or if you'd rather, you can come along, he added wryly. R2 beeped again. Not a cheerful beep, exactly, but one that definitely sounded relieved. The little droid hated being left alone. Hang on, Luke directed him. I'll get down and give you a hand. He jumped down. The ground felt a little squishy beneath his feet, but it was easily firm enough to support the X-Wing's weight. Satisfied, he reached out with the Force to lift R2 from his perch and lower the droid to the ground beside him. There you go, he said,